Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother, Murad Muhammad. And it gives me great privilege, and I love saying that, brothers and sisters, that I am your brother. And my name is Murad Muhammad. And people call me Imam, and some people call me Doctor. And I enjoy being called by my first name, Murad, because I'm just like you. I grew up being just like you. We come from the same neighborhood, and we all caught the same hell that everybody has received. And if, in fact, our children did not catch the hell we caught, we say, Alhamdulillah, Allah reward us for raising them to come into a new world. But things are happening. Things are happening, and our children doesn't have a clue what is really going on. However, it's going to be all right because God says it's going to be all right, and he said that all we have to do is go through our trials and errors. Everyone does. I don't care who you are. We all go through trials and errors. But when you get a sensitivity that you are doing well, but the next door neighbor is not, the family down the street is not, or those who you run into, you see how they're suffering. When you have that sensitivity, you are in heaven, because those are the sensitivity that is a natural for every human being. So this myth that our religion changes us, it's a myth. Religion don't change anyone. If you're no good in Judaism before you came, you're going to be a Jew that's no good. If you're no good in Christianity and you was no good before you came to Christianity, you're a no good person in Christianity. And likewise with Islam. If you're no good and you accept the religion of Islam and you didn't change, you're a no good believer in Islam. I say believer because a believer knows better, but he still will do wrong. And that's the one gets really punished. It's one that did not know. Allah can't charge that one if you don't know. If I do something wrong with Judaism and I knew nothing about Judaism, you can't charge me with it. Likewise with Christianity. But you can't study this religion and read the Quran, brothers and sisters, and then say, I don't know. And what are you reading? What's happening to us is we are behind men that bleed like us, get sick like us, yes, and go through hell like us, sin just like us. But yet we allow them to read to us as if we're little children sitting on the bed listening to mama read. Oh, that I love my mother reading to me. So today we have people reading, and you don't even go and check it out. You don't even know if it's actual fact. Then they are speaking a different language. Now, you know you don't know that language. You know a little Spanish. You know a little Italian. Yes, you can say a few words to get one's attention. But if they hold a conversation with you in their language and you never studied the language, there's no way you could comprehend what in the world is they talking about. Well, that's what happened to the African-American. The African-American decided to study the Holy Quran, but they wanted to learn the language. And they don't understand, most of them don't understand that most Arabs of Islam, because they was forced to. If the country is Islamic, then you are Islamic. Hell, we all said we was Christians. Now, that was the order of the country. We are Christians. But we wasn't Christians. And nor did we know anything about Christians. Because if you asked me back then, and say, well, tell me about Christianity. Can you give me something? How about a prayer? Down lay me, down to sleep. I pray, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, you know it. We used to say that. And my mama used to make me go to church. So I was a Christian because I never studied. I just sat and listened to the preacher. So if you asked me about anything about the Ildil, I wouldn't know nothing about it. Now, there are some men and women who went and studied the Bible so they can read the Bible. But send them to the Jews' church. Go in there and see if you understand what they're saying. You don't know, so you can't call yourself Jewish. Because why? You don't know the Jewish religion. But however, what about in Islam? So you read a little bit Arabic and can't tell me the difference from the language of the Arabs and the language of God. Two different languages. The Quran is the Quran. And your culture is your culture. You speak Spanish, you Latino. You speak Italian, you're Italian. And so forth and so on. So if you live in that country called Saudi Arabia, or go and live there for 4 years, you're going to speak the Arabic language. So you can't know the difference because Allah was so merciful that he put the language in Arabic. That's the real pronouncing of his language. Or so you can get it, the Quran Arabic. Difference, so that means the men and women that had a language called Arabic had to reteach themselves about the Quran. However, when they come here, they're successful. Why are they successful, Moran? So they speak English. They speak and learn the language. They go to the colleges and learn how to speak it so well that you can't hear or accent. However, when they go home, they go back to their religion. We was taught after 400 years of slavery, because you get killed learning how to read. They didn't allow us to read until over 100 years ago, maybe 100 years. But we was able to become social degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree, doctorate degree, in all different aspects. Or was we educated? And we knew how to relate to everybody in this country, to the point you got some court cases say, go home until you learn our language. That's how English is so important, because everything around the world wants to come to America. And you say, why? Now, if you was brought up in Islam in Saudi Arabia, India, and say, I go on, then why are you here? Because in those countries, there's no democracy. You are rich or you poor. Now, we say poor here, but go over there in their poor countries. You can't believe it. You will not live like that. You will not live, but that's the way they live. So they educate themselves, and they learn two languages, their own and English. So they come over here and dominate everything because they can speak it well. And they go to our schools and get educated, doctors and lawyers and engineers and et cetera. What the African Americans did fell into under life's a trap. So here comes someone, don't look like your daddy, don't look like your mama or your siblings or your uncle. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with you, used to say, unlike subtract and alike repel. So even though I can speak the language, you're not going to accept it from me. You're going to accept it because they've been speaking the language all their life, not the Quran. Not the Quran all their life. For the Quran came 1,400 years ago. So what was they doing all those thousands of years? They spoke their own language. But they got out of there. that got out of those Islamic countries and came over here and built a myth. Successful. Why? They got the right complexion for the right protection. They're not Negroes, and I'm being modest. So therefore, they was able to get loans and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and it became to the point that they stayed in their neighborhood. And you better not try to rent an apartment in their neighborhood. You better not try to buy a house. All of a sudden, someone came from overseas and took the deal. It was meant. Do not, you hear me? Do not touch my Negroes. Again, I'm being modest. Don't touch my Negroes. Whether you're Italian, Irishman, whether you're Pakistani, India, or you're from Turkey, wherever you're from, do not touch my Negroes. Why is it that they put that kind of strain on us? You know what's good about it? You know what's good about it? The Honorable Elijah told us that we was the Asiatic black man, the maker and the owner of the cream of the planet, earth, following the civilization, God of the universe. He said it and turned us around. We never felt inferior. We didn't want nothing that belongs to them with us. And we was independent. Now, I'm not saying we the only ones that did it very successful. But let's go back in the 30s before Farad came here. Let's go back before Islam was introduced to us. Let's go back and talk about, brothers and sisters, let's go back and talk about the men and the women that came in this country and was put into slavery. They built their own land. We had our own baseball team, football team, basketball team. Oh, we was having fun. Until what happened? They allowed some of us to get in Hollywood, to get into the NBA, to get into the NFL, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just a few. Just a few. And I heard Ms. Farrakhan use this while I use it today. He said you put them on the outside of the basket. On the outside of the basket is the crabs. And those crabs are to keep the ones in the basket. Don't let them out. Because if you do, you will go back into the basket. So only a few was given the opportunity to be able to handle money and a great deal of money. But they had a rule. Let's think about it. If you took all the NFL, all the NBA, all of the men that played tennis, ride cars, whatever, and put it all together, and each one gave $1 million, we would damn near have $1 trillion. A trillion. But they can't do it. They can't do it because they told the same thing. You can help your mother, but so far. You can help your father, but so far. And your siblings. But if I see you put that money in the black neighborhood, you cut off. So they can't give it to us. They are blocked to not to put money in our neighborhood. So I'm going to give you a metaphor. Because it's reality, so use it as a metaphor. Oprah Winfrey, do you really think she wanted to go to Africa to build a school and a sensational intelligence school? All the money they got in Africa, all the gold and diamonds and oil and coffee and sugar in Africa, we don't have that. We have that material substance here in America, but we don't own any of that. So why didn't she build that school? Why didn't she build that school, brothers and sisters, in Chicago? They will cut her off. So she did the best thing. She's okay, if I can't give it to my people here, then I'll give it to them over in Africa. Oh, you can do that. But you can't help these Negroes here. So it's meant, it's told that we are not supposed to be successful. Put your phone on mute whoever just came in, if you don't push star 6, you won't be on mute. Put it on mute. And this way I won't hear you. Anything you do, you can chew, you can talk, and you're talking to your neighbor or your friend or your family member, is coming across the air, so it interrupts us. So just put it on mute, please. So I'm saying to you that the day we are living in and what's going on, you don't have a clue what's really going on. All of this is a con, a trick, but yet people are dying. It's amazing, and they don't care about who died. These masks is being told, and it's all over the TV and the radio. They try to keep it dead. It is killing the people walking around with masks on their face, because we are earthly people, the air. You have to breathe God's air. Mm-hmm. But there's germs in our body. So when you exhale, it goes to the mask and comes right back to you. So they said more people getting sick from that, and they're not telling you. Mm-hmm. But they're making a great deal of money with masks. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to be a fool and go around sick people and don't cover your mouth, but I'm going to say something, and I said it on my radio yesterday. I came into a home with a young lady that grew up with my mother. We all lived in the project, and she had a beautiful husband, and she's 95 years old, still looked pretty, 95. And when I came in, my brother Omar said, put the mask on. Well, I follow orders. This ain't my house. Mama said, take that mask off. I can't hear you, boy. I want to hear you. And who are you? I need to see you. So I took it off. She said, I still can't. Sit right over here. Sit. So I sat in the chair next to her. She was on the couch. I was on the other side of the couch. She said, I want you to sit right next to me. Omar said, no, Mama. She literally told him to shut up. Why? Because they're intelligent. They are intelligent. They understand what's going on. But they doesn't have a voice. And so she felt better that I was talking to her, and she put her hands on me. She didn't fear all what they are saying. She's 95 years old. And then got up, and Omar had something on the table. She said, boy, move that. That's Mama. Mama, you don't believe nothing on her coffee table or anything. And she walked herself into the kitchen to eat and then gave me the greetings. Now, what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, they got us so faked out that we only want to hold our mother. We only want to kiss our mother. We only want to touch our mother. Isn't that something? Well, I'm sorry. I know my children. I know my wife. I know those who I love. My system, they have found out today. Listen, they found out today that all these tests is a waste of time. There's no such thing that anybody can come up with a test that say if you got COVID-19 in you. Now, you can find something that was there for 5 years. And they make it COVID-19, but that's been in you. You didn't check it out. But they can find that, but they can't find COVID-19. So something's wrong with this. And now they got a new one coming out, and you be crazy to test that. You so fearful, you think you're going to die. Well, all this stuff been going on, the hell we went through for 400 years, and we still alive. They fed you pig. There's no virus stronger than the pig that kills you slowly. There's no pig or there's no saliva that kill you with that smoking, that coke you put up your nose. You think the viral is something? Well, I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, that reefer that you smoking is burning your brain. But hell, you all tight by COVID-19. Eat right. Clean your system. Take your vitamin D, E, C, 6, 12. do the things that take care of yourself, because God don't help nobody if they don't help themselves. That's what God says. I only help those who help themselves. You take a step, and he'll take two. You got to first take the step. So we're not communicating. And because we're not communicating, no one is too feared to tell you this. The nurses have to whisper to you because they'll lose their job. The doctors, they catch you by yourself, they'll tell you. Their job is to tell you to take them pills. Why? They get paid. But that's their job. One doctor said to me, I said, I'm not taking that pill. I don't need that pill to help me to stop having this or that or whatever they were trying to give it to me. And she said, I ain't say you had to. It's my job to offer you these meds. And if you're foolish enough to take it, then that's your business. I said, whoa, would you say that to the world? She'll lose her license. This is a game, brothers and sisters. They got the answer to cancer right now. Patent, where is it? Sitting on the shelf so no one gives it to you. Because they don't want you clean and cured. Why do you think our jails are packed? Because they make money. It's called sophisticated slavery. And all them brothers got to do is just shut down. And every prison is, they all should unite. And you will, major companies will fall because they get free labor. And the owners get paid. They get paid when you sit in that jail. But they can't control you. How could 100 people control 1,000 men and women? And children, because they're locking our children up. So we not doing unity. Unity, some reason, went out the window. It's out the window with Christianity, and it's out the window with Islam in America. Don't you ever tell me that our brothers from the foreign countries build all these conglomerate messages. Where they get the money? They got it, even if they have it for their own country. But why they didn't build it in the inner city? Why did they build it up on the mountain? There's a revelation about the masjid was built on the mountain, and Allah says that's not where it's supposed to be because people can't get there. So we can't go to their masjid. We got our own. Is they masjids? No, they storefronts. Are they masjids? No, they little barns. Are they masjids? So they laugh at us because they say, well, what are you doing for yourself? What are you doing for yourself? You think we're going to give a man that don't want nothing? And we got to be in these raggedy masjids. And you know what really bothers me? Everybody likes to clean their bathroom. Everybody likes their bathroom to feel neat because you go in there. Hell, you go in some of these masters and you say, my God. And then you got the stupidity. See, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he did wudu, he did it with a cup in his fingers. Back then, it was plenty of water. Nobody charged for water. But today, we take baths. Hell, man, take a bath home. Run your water, your shower, your bath at home. But you come to the masjid and stick your feet in there, you stick your hands in there, water all over the floor. Go to that person's home, you'll find out the worst, unbelievable, the way he keeps his own home because he don't care nothing about the next person. It's amazing these things are happening. So allow me to say this before I open up the lines, because I talked like this for 7 years, and I went viral 3 years. Over millions of people listened to me, so I'm doing something right. I didn't ask for it. It was dropped in my lap. I accepted it. People say, man, you talk pretty loud. I said, when I'm speaking, I don't want you to say, what did he say? Oh, you won't hear what I'm going to say. You can accept it, or you can reject it. So let's deal with the reality. You can't come into Islam that was given to us by God himself, Islam. Allah says, religion you want, I choose Islam. You can't come and learn the words of God There's no cut on it. Here, you got it. If you got it, why are you not evolving? Whoa, something is wrong. Why are you still in the same place you was 30 years ago? Why is it that you don't have your skyscrapers and you don't have your factories and you don't have your restaurants and your school of thought for your children, but yet you read God's word? Something is wrong. Something is wrong, because when you learn God's word, you evolve. Allah says, I have created the heavens and the earth all for you, man.
You hear me?
That's the only one got it. It's white folks.
That's because you hear me.
We have to learn that the Quran talks to you directly. You don't need no third party. When you read the Quran, you listen to what God says to you.
You hear me? Because I'm in
and when
the
you
same
take
room.
Up, please, my sister, can you put your phone on
you
mute?
Because I'm in the same room.
Because I can't. I'm hearing you speak and interrupt. You can hang the phone up and then you don't have to worry unless you forgot to push R6. I'm not just talking to you that say la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, because when I went around the world, Imam Walasi Muhammad, and I'm a student of Imam Walasi Muhammad, he said, go to humanity. And so when I went to humanity, there was Jews and Christians and Hindus and people in all walks of life that I met. And my God, did I meet some good people. And I enjoyed myself being amongst them. That's humanity. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ain't just for the African Americans. He ain't just for the Arabs. He's not just for the Native Indians. He's for all humanity. So we have to talk where everybody can understand. So I reiterate, you cannot study this religion and not see what's right and what's wrong. And you cannot, brothers and sisters, if I put you in a potential building, 20,000 of us, but if I'm not busting through that wall and I don't have people outside trying to get in, and that is the extent I'm going to go. I should sit down and let someone take y'all further. But we too selfish to do that. We want to be able to say, I'm an imam. So let's get this straight. Imam teaches the Quran. He teaches Juma, but he's no leader over the community. The community leads the community. There's no such thing as a big eyes, a little you. There's no one over top of Islam. Now, I sit amongst all of them. I say not it's 400,000, not the whole 400,000, but it's 100 of us, imam, and I talk just like this. You're not coming in America and telling me that you're going to be over me, but yet you're not an imam in your own country. Now, how is it that you're imam here, but you're not one over there? Because you ain't qualified. So what makes you qualified? You can give me a suggestion, but you can't tell me unless that surah and tell me in English what do it mean. Can't do it. This is why they all gravitated to me, because I'm telling them this is reality. It's to show off. It's to teach Arabic on Juma. When you got brothers sitting there trying to get off of drugs, when you got men and women trying to stay married, we got people that lost their house. You think they want to hear you to speak another language? Yes, it's soothing to our nature, because the Quran is our nature. But you got to stop talking to the spirit and talking to the nature and talk to the intellect. That's the problem. We are not giving people food of thought, and they make their own decision. Yes or no. That's why Satan don't like us. But we have a right to make our own decision. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessing of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable, noble servant, messenger of God. And what follows that salute and that translation of that salutation of the last prophet, the seal of the prophet that is mentioned in the Quran, is mentioned in the Hadith, the Bible is mentioned in the Torah. Yes, this is a gift that God has given us out of the Quran. Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, may the peace and blessing be upon the Prophet. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the world. We thank Allah. We can never thank him enough for giving us a blessing, a mercy in Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. And we greet him with the excellent salute. We say prayers of peace be upon him. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbi Adameen, wa salatu wa salam wa salatu ala kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa. When you say, surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth, is salaka wa deen. And the reason we do that is because in Fatiha, we say Ameen. But if you study the Quran and the words of God, you will not see Ameen on no surah of the Quran other than Fatiha. It's surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. And it's always begin, every surah is begin to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, except nine, it doesn't say that, because it's a continuation of the surah that you read prior to nine. These are little things that we should understand. And so I teach that, and I had brothers, I mean my brothers that wear the robes, and I said, show me in the Quran where you see that Allah says to one of us, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Show it to me. It's not there. Then who is it for? It's for the Prophet. It's for only Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why if you look at the language of the Arabic, it's a little E for a singular. So that's not for us. But they came here, got us saying that. You hear everybody, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We don't even know what they're saying. But when we turn to our right and we turn to our left, we're talking to the two angels. And we say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. That's the angel. We ain't the angels, and we surely ain't the prophet. So our greeting is As-salamu alaykum. So here we at now, and that was my topic today, about there's two holidays. We ain't got two. Fitra, Eid al-Adha. Now, why is it that Eid al-Adha is more stronger and powerful than Eid al-Fitr? Simple. Juma. We all go to Juma and we fast during the holy month of Ramadan. That's what we do. We fast during the holy month of Ramadan. So because we fast during the holy month of Ramadan, brothers and sisters, you know what you went through? It allows you to reflect and recognize who you are, because you return back to your nature, yourself. Every individual turns back to their nature. It's like we was born in the world, innocent. We're innocent. We don't do nothing during the month of Ramadan. 30 days, sometimes less, 29 is a mercy. But we don't do anything. So Allah says in the Quran, God says, when you fulfill your moral obligation, your rights, you have rights, you should celebrate. This is God talking. So we should celebrate. That's why we have the Eid, because we celebrate, not Eid. That's what white folks call it, Eid, because they can't roll their tongue. It's Eve, your mother Eve, that's what it is. But you don't know why. So you are celebrating individuals. That's for your individual soul, your individual mercy that God has given you, that you fast. You don't ask a person why they fasting. It's none of your business. Between them and their Lord, they owe you nothing. So now we celebrate. But this one here is for your social quality, your community. It's not for you as an individual. This is where we all come together to celebrate our unity, Ummah. This is why it's larger, because it's no longer the individual. The individual don't make up the community, and the community doesn't make an individual. But when you come to a community collectively with ideas, you can help the community. You can help the community to grow. That's what you're supposed to do, is give back. But for some reason, we got imams, that's everybody. He's the principal, he is the builder, he's the landowner, and he controls the money. That's not Islam. That's a joke. And it's got to change. The only thing going to change with Black Lives Matter is changing all this government stuff. Boy, oh boy, they're doing an excellent job, because there's millions of them in all parts of the world is doing this. And so, therefore, in the Quran, there's a chapter called balance. You have to balance your mind. You got to balance your soul. Which one of the favors of your Lord would you deny? That's the balance. Which one of the favors? You got to make a decision. That's what we have to be. If you ain't balanced, you're going to fall. You're going to fall down. Because why? You're not balanced. You're too far to the right or you're too far to the left. Duly proportioned. You can't hate your mama, your sister, your brother because they didn't accept Islam. No, you the devil. Satan got you to make you don't like your mama, don't like your father, don't even like your neighbor. But yet, Muhammad the prophet for all humanity. Who teaches you that? Their enemies among us got you walking like dead man. Dead man living. You don't want nothing out of life. You ain't trying to grow. You don't want to grow. Well, hell, do like the poor people and the white folks. They invest on Wall Street. That's why they can buy a big home, because they only make $70,000 a year, but they put $20,000 in. Wow, did it grow. Here come $1 million. Here come $2 million. But we won't invest in our own community. Where's our mess, our home? Where's our school? Where's our job? How are we begging someone to do for what we can do for ourselves? And that's my humble opinion. So I'm going to open up this line, and I'm going to ask, Zalima, are you out there? Zalima, I love.
Assalamu alaikum.
What I got, Salam. Zalima, brothers and sisters, she started coming. She was listening. I've been talking to her. And I asked her to come on the radio to speak. She was so excited. Something probably was in her all the time. Then I said, your family is so well educated. Why don't you create, I'll give you a day. I'll give you an hour. I'll give you 2 hours. I said, well, and she went and got her sister who was a doctor. And just last week, her nephew was on. That was her great nephew. And he was very intelligent. You can't play with people that ask you serious questions and you got to say, but Allah sent me around the world. And I've been reading this Quran ever since I was 13. And everything in the Quran is why I became successful. I didn't wait for Robert Rules. I didn't wait for white folks to hand me anything. And nor did I get their degree from them. So they didn't mold and shape me. And I thank Allah for my development going with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because we were dope addicts. We were pimps. We were downtrodden. We didn't know nothing about anything if it wasn't for him. So how you can't give credit where credit is due? On New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirage Speaks, comes to you 7 days a week. I'm going to always keep the Honorable Elijah Muhammad alive. I love him more than I'm on the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, because I don't do drugs. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't snort coke. Boy, did he make me a man, capital M-A-N. More important that I'm married. I'm not a bachelor. I don't lay around in my bed and there's no wife sitting next to me. 10 years old, do for yourself. Owning my own restaurant, do for yourself. Don't worry about white folks. Why do we love the devil? Because he's giving them nothing. So that took me around the world. I'm in every newspaper in this country. I'm in every library in this country. And I've been on all the networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, USA, Showtime, you name it, I have done it. And I come from the projects. But I thank Allah, I could not come to prayer if I don't do wudu. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was wudu. Amen. What is he, Muhammad, called us to pray? Alhamdulillah. My sister, what you have for me, my lovely, beautiful niece.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you. With the assalamu alaikum to you and your beautiful audience, with Il al-Hanir, if you would explain the sacrifice bestowed on Ibrahim by Allah.
That is a very good question, because Ibrahim, he is more than what people, and it's amazing you brought that up. Abraham is such a great example to us because you have to imagine in your mind that Sarah was a gorgeous woman. Now, Abraham was brought up with the idol gods. His father was a master in making them. So Abraham had tore up all the idol gods but one in the Kaaba. And they knew Abraham did it. And so his father said, Abraham, if you destroy these gods, he said, ask the big one. His father got angry. Oh, you sassing me? You know my God can't speak. He said, yo, the God can't speak. So he had to leave that. And the reason Allah gave him the title of Father of the Intellectual Mind, that father, he is the child of Adam. But he's the father of the intellectual mind of all those who are sitting around waiting for someone to teach them. All of those who won't go search for God himself. All of those who just gave up and just waiting to die. Abraham started traveling. But he saw the sun go up. He said, that's got to be God. But it set. He knew God didn't set. The stars came out. He said, that's got to be God. But it set. He said, God don't set. Likewise with the moon. He went down in Sajda of prayer. Didn't know it was Sajda of prayer. So, oh, Allah, forgive me. Sun, the moon, the stars are not God. I serve that who created the stars, the moon, the sun. That's Abraham. But Abraham got married. All the prophets get married. This myth that a man should teach our women, should teach our community and don't have a husband, something wrong with them. The way things come in the world today, they could be he or she, because femininity is in us. But Satan can make you dominate that masculine. And then all of a sudden, you don't like women. You can't even deal with women. You home alone. That's not Islam. Give me another religion, but that ain't Islam. There ain't no bachelors in this community. So he got married. But who married him? Tell me what third party married him. Marriage is when you enter into the womb of that woman. That is your marriage. If you don't believe that, go to the judge and say, I don't want this man. And he'll say, I don't want her. He said, well, what are y'all fighting over? He said, I don't like her. I should never marry him. So he said, well, did you consummate the marriage? And the woman said, yes. My mother was there. My father was there. The priest was there. The imam was there. Everybody was there. So we got married. He gave me my ring, I gave him his ring, and we kissed. He said, y'all ain't grasped what I'm trying to tell you. Did you consummate the marriage? What do you mean, Your Honor? Did you have sex with him? Did he have sex? Oh, hell no. I ain't want to do nothing with him. I ain't want to do nothing with her. I said, what the hell are you doing in my courtroom? You're not married. Until you consummate it, you're not married. So even today, you have to consummate. There ain't nobody to tell you about no piece of paper. What a piece of paper going to do? A woman to tell you what to write with that piece of paper. You're going to tell her, of course, I signed that contract. I got to feed you. I got to clothe you. I got to wait on you. No, it doesn't work like that. It comes from the heart. But let's get back to Abraham. Abraham, the king says, who is that woman you with? Abraham said, oh, that's my sister. Abraham went home. He lied. Why? It's war. Did you know what the king does when he want a woman and you married? He kills you. So the wife says, no, Abraham, you cannot. You cannot, Abraham, tell a lie. You're a righteous man. He said, you want me dead? When you see that king, you tell him I'm your brother. Sure enough, king grabbed her, put his hands on her, touched her. They said the hand crawled up. He pulled it away. He said, who are you to Abraham? Oh, that's my brother. She was smart. She lied. See, you can lie in war. You never tell the enemy, I'm coming to your right. He'd kill all of us. You tell him you're coming to the right and come to the left. It's war. So you don't tell him the truth. So she got to lie to him. So he touched her again, and this time he gave her a slave. Tell your Lord that I apologize. So he gave him a slave, which they called back then a servant. We made it slaves. Okay, servant king. But Abraham was such a righteous man. See, when y'all talk about Abraham, you lose this. This is the key to everything. Sarah said, I'm too old to have babies. Some people said she was 80. Some people said she was 90. Hell, you don't have babies after 65. Well, okay, she can't produce a child. But she wanted Abraham to bring in a son because that will make him be able to teach his son. She said, take Hadji. That's her real name. You call anything you want, but they won't call her Hadji. Hadji was named after her. So Hadji, being a virgin, produced a son, Ishmael. Ishmael came along. Oh, was Abraham happy? He was fine. So here come the angels. They say the three wise guys. Okay, three angels came. And the three angels said, Sarah, for being so humble and being thoughtful and caring about your husband have an offspring, we're going to give you a child. God will bless you with a child. She chuckled, like, are you out your mind? I mean, I'm using my words now, but that's what she really said. And they said, you say God says be, and it is. She became pregnant. Now we got two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. But Isaac was in love with Ishmael. My God, did he love Ishmael. Any little brother do. I love my brother Musa. Musa told me, you be your own man. Don't be like me, but I want to be like Musa. So this happens in the family. So Sarah tells Abraham, you got to separate them. Abraham, just like any normal man, oh, you jealous. Oh, no, she wasn't. Allah gave her intuition, and Sarah knew if you don't separate these two, this one here, the baby, ain't not going to grow. So they come to Abraham, went on to Hadji and said, I got to take you to the desert so you know what he's talking about. And we're going to leave you there with your son. Question was asked to him, is this what God wills? He said, yes. Because of that, she went to the desert. He dropped off, went back to raise Isaac, because he taught Ishmael a little bit. Now she's out there with no food. Just think about it. So your sisters don't think. Just think about it. She had no food, no water. And she's running from mountain to mountain. That's why we do it right now, because of her. And the Zamzam water shot up because he was praying in the sand. And that Zamzam water is still shooting. Nobody can tell why the rain comes. That's Allah, why the storm comes. Well, how did Adam and Eve come from mud, dirt, and clay? How did Mary come from a human mud, dirt, and clay? All of this is God showing his power. And so Ishmael was raised by his mama, so the father came back to teach him. And when he came back to teach him, of course, they changed the Kaaba, because the Kaaba looked like a coffin until Abraham decided to make it upright. And they put Ishmael over top of the Kaaba. That was his post. And so when they say the sacrifice, and they use the word blood to get your attention, but no blood reaches Allah. What reaches Allah is they use the story that he was going to sacrifice his own begot son. Now, whoa, this is before Isaac came around. He was going to get rid of this boy because Allah said it. But guess what Ishmael says to his daddy? He said, is this what God wants? He said, yes. He said, I accept. And it got so far, when it got to his throat to cut it, Allah stopped him. What was that all about? That they do only the will of God. Whatever Allah says is what we do. That's the sacrifice. Not killing animals and blood. I mean, it's a tradition. There's no harm in it. But the point is the sacrifice that you trust no one but Allah. The sacrifice is that I believe in one God. The sacrifice is my faith is strong. My belief is strong. But God says, good you got faith. Good you believe. But do you love? Well, you got men right now don't love their mother. You got men right now don't love their uncle, don't love their friend, don't love their neighbor, don't love the people that don't bow their head on the rug. But you read the story of Abraham? Something wrong with that. So let's go a little further. Now that Hadji, they named Hadji after Hadji, you got to go past her. You got to go past her grave to go around the Kaaba. And you got to go around there seven times. And you can't go to the right. All these brothers like to go to the right. Oh, brother, I'm going to shake your left hand. Hey, fool, you named it left. Those are God's creation. Man names everything. So if right is right, go around the Kaaba. Go around the Kaaba right. You a dead man. You'll be the only one going around there. We go counterclockwise. But today they don't do that because someone has got their head full with all this spookism about a man's hand. I guarantee you if they was drowning and you take your right hand because it's strong and you hold on and say, man, grab my hand, grab my hand. No, I'm not. Give me the right hand. You a dead man. You just drowned. But you're going to grab that hand because common sense says I'm trying to save myself. So it got nothing to do with hands. That's why some children come here left-handed, right-handed. We named it left. We named it right. It's two God's controls. El-Rahman, El-Rahim. But you wouldn't have got it if he said that, so you say hands. So they had to now run that mountain. seven times. That's hiding. Now, if that was a sin or that was a mistake, how did both sons, two different rules, become the messenger of God? Sons of Allah saying, read the story, it's clean. It's who I am and who you are. Don't be jealous of your sister. Don't be jealous of your brother, because we say two, three, or four. Well, Abraham had two. You don't know if he had another three or four. But you don't marry for sex. Muhammad, the prophet, prayers, peace upon him, married a Jew to stop the war. Married a Christian to stop the war. Marrying women that had leprosy, but treated them like a husband. That alone tells you it couldn't have been sex. Married a little girl, but Allah gave her her. Because when you got a little girl, daddy, where are you going? I'm going out. Daddy, why you got that tie on? I like this tie. Daddy, who you going to be with? Well, I'm going to be with my friend. Daddy, why are you putting on the suit that mommy brought for you? Well, I like the suit. Daddy, why this? Why that? You don't say anything wrong to that little girl. Why? Because she's innocent. You know she's innocent. She don't even know the world. But let your wife say, where are you going now? Woman, don't bother me. Well, why are you wearing that new suit? And what woman you wearing, and now you hot? Because why? A woman don't do that to you, but not a little girl. So that little young girl wrote the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because she asked questions. Why are you in that position? Why are you in ruku position? Why are you in qiyam position? And she wrote, that's the authentic hadith. Because Allah needed someone to be right there and record everything he did to prove to us that he was a perfect example. And that's why we follow the uswa of the prophet. We don't beat our wives. We don't holler at our wives. We don't disrespect our wives. Because Muhammad the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never done that. And so that's who we want to be like. Not you, man. Not you that just come out of jail. Not you just came from being a
kid. Hey,
may Allah bless you.
I want to be like
somebody got their phone open, and because your phone is open, I got a kickback. Just put your phone on mute. So the question is, the sacrifice is to show us that a man will give his only begotten son. Keep in mind, if my wife was climbing a mountain and we're all on this rope, and my daughter is on top, then my wife, then my son, and my baby son, and the rope is breaking, too much weight on it. So I tell my son to cut that rope. Mama's hollering, no. My daughter's hollering, no, don't cut the rope. We'll make it, Dad, to cut this rope. I would sacrifice my life so my family can live. Allah says, one who saves your life loses their life, and the one that gives his life saves his life. So he was under the pressing, and of course that didn't happen. Anything in the Quran is physical, is not real. It's you. This is why I'm saying to you, this is you. Abraham is you. And Abraham was blessed because Abraham had a love for not only his family, his community. So Allah gave that to Abraham. And that's the real story of the sacrifice of Abraham, his only begotten son before Isaac came about. What's your second question? That's my humble opinion.
Just one question today. One question.
Very good.
Thank you.
My brother, Samad, he became famous because everybody said, my God, this guy comes up with some questions. I like it because it is a way of teaching. And you'll be with a lot of people you love who you are with. What is your question today, Samad?
I think you might. I saw the link on the right.
Praise God.
I think you answered the question, not all of it, but.
Whoa!
Can you hear me?
Yes.
The question is Elijah Muhammad. You speak about him a lot today. And a lot of brothers that was in the Nation of Islam, they speak about a lot of brothers that left the Nation of Islam and went over to the Sunnah. They talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And some brothers that came straight to the Sunnah without going to the Nation of Islam, they don't talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But you talk on the show about Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You talk to Christians, the Nation of Islam is on your show, Jehovah's Witnesses, Jews, people from all around. But my question is, do you talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the other day? Did Murad talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he do Juma? He said he does Juma. I said, well, I've seen Murad do Juma a couple of times. And Juma is mostly 99%. And I think he might have mentioned him once, but not as often. Do you talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad like you do on the radio when you do Juma?
You know, that's an excellent question.
Do you talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad during Juma like you do on the radio? That's the question.
You see, the reason that's a question, Saman, because they don't know the difference of giving credit where credit's due. That's all in the Quran. Allah says when you don't give credit where credit is due, Allah will give you no more. Now, I just come from Connecticut. I was given that position by Majid Kareem Hassan, who's been around for years, got a doctorate degree in matter. And he told them to listen to me because I've been coming up there for years, but I didn't know I would have had to do Juma for over 3 months. Every Friday, I was in Connecticut. And I built them to come back as a family. We took a vote, and now the brother got in. But tears of joy came to my heart because the brothers got up and said, Mark, can you just stay with us for one more year? I said, I haven't been here yet. Yeah, well, we want you to fill out the other 7-8 months. I said, no, brother, you can't tie me on a roof and four walls. I said, Masjid Haram has no walls, has no ceiling. The sky is the limit with Allah. I did the best I could for you all, and I think you're on your way. Tell you. I speak of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'll be remiss if I didn't speak of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You got to understand, since 1930, we knew nothing about Islam. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was smart because he gave us Islam. He didn't say El Islam because we wouldn't have gotten it. He didn't teach us how to pray. And don't think he didn't study. He didn't study because Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't teach his followers how to pray for 12 years. So he knew that. He knew that he couldn't jam that down us because why? And then we thought he didn't teach that fraud was the Lord of all the world. But he said fraud came in the person of Allah. Why? Because all of us got the spirit of God. We the human beings got the spirit. The angels didn't have that. The jinn didn't have that. We was mud, dirt, and clay. But God said, wait until I breathe in their nostrils my spirit. So that made us little gods. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am the God. That means there's more gods around here, little gods. So he gave us that. So everybody took it literally, but it worked because we thought Jesus with blue eyes and blonde hair and pale face was God. He changed it, but made it look just like Jesus a little bit. It just looked like he wasn't white. Because if he'd pull up a black man, we probably wouldn't have came. Then he said, money, good homes and friendships, all walks of life. So now we come from the project. We ain't had no money, and we sure didn't have no home. The only one love us was the people in the project. Friendships and all walks of life, freedom, justice, and equality. Turned our whole lives around. Nobody wanted the pimps, they locked them up. Nobody liked the dope deals, they locked them up. Nobody liked the junkies. Nobody liked the winos. Nobody liked the prostitutes. He gave, give me all the rejected ones in America. And my God, did he clean us up. So we was a million strong or more. We was millions for us. And we moved as one. Today, they will not touch a follower of Imam Warasi Muhammad. They will not touch a follower of Minister Louis Farrakhan today because we're not individuals. It's repercussion, and nobody likes repercussion. Senari comes to kill because he knows he can't be killed. So he gets high and get a little money and shoots you and kill you. But if he knew he was going to die, you can't pay him any kind of money. He's not coming. So we was one. We moved as one. One for all for one, even Stevens. Until the president of the United States told Hubert J. Edgar Hoover to protect the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because someone stupid or crazy might try to kill him. Now, he was that powerful, he died a natural death. He was that powerful, and you won't give him credit today, something is wrong. Something is sick in your mind. So that's why they know him now, and that's why they love him now, because they didn't have no idea why he said white folks was the devil. He only said it because when you go into the woods, there's a mind. But a garden snake ain't going to hurt you. Well, I don't have time to teach you what is a garden snake. All the snakes are no good. Now you're not going to get bit. So he said, all white folks are the devil. We was not intelligent, but we sure didn't love the devil. We wasn't rich, but we sure didn't love the devil. So he had us. He turned us around until we became superior, over top of everybody. And then he said, don't judge a man by his color. Judge him by how he treats you. If your brother treats you like an enemy, he's your enemy. If a person that's not a, look like you treats you like your enemy, that's your enemy. I got it. Those who say, I said, I'm alaikum, is the ones that will kill you, the ones that will tell on you, the one that will work against you, because those are good spies. They bow their head with you. But you know what gets me? You know what gets me, Samad? I said, but they never produce nothing. I said, how this man get to be in this position and I ain't never saw him do anything? They being paid. Don't you ever think that you're going to have millions of people gather and the government doesn't use their intelligence. Well, rightfully so. Hell, tap my phone, all you're going to hear is the truth. All I ask you is when I'm making love to my wife, can you turn the damn mic off? And literally, they're supposed to, but they're so freakish, they enjoy doing that. And the sisters and brothers don't know. You got all that garment on from head to toe. You got the hijab, you got everything. You got the robe, you got everything. And when you go in your house, and your TV on, and you get naked, they see you for your true self. Hey, you want to see what a Muslim look under their dress? Come look here. Yes, they show you this all on TV, but we don't think it's going to happen to us. But why is it? Because you say you're a Muslim. And that's the one they fear, Khan said. He said, get us out of these white uniforms and put us in the blue uniform. so we can kill these niggas. Don't worry about that nigga Jesse Jackson. And don't worry about that nigga Dr. King. This is what the Ku Klux Klan said in 1962, Samad, 63. I sent you to go look for it, and you found it. I don't lie. He said, but them damn black Muslims, they're going to kill all of us if we don't kill them. Well, guess what? They ain't killing us because it'll be a guerrilla warfare and it'll be a holy war in America. So that's why we walk proud, because we are together. I smack you with my open hand, I get your attention. But if I lock it to one unit, I can knock the hell out of stupidity, ignorance, and procrastination. That's what unity does. Nobody want a war. They want to talk. And the Italians talk to the Eisman talk to the Portuguese talk to the Jews talk to the Christians. But no one cares anything about an individual. Just look in the mirror and say, if someone shoot me, who will come? Nobody. You don't belong to a community. You by yourself. And you're dead. You're dead, man. Because why? They feel you useless anyway. So they killing us with all this virus and all this 40 million people out of jobs. Everybody catching hell. That's my humble opinion. You got another question?
Well, that's it. Just one question today, Murat.
I thank you for that question. I believe that people ought to know, because I see a lot of good people, man. All they doing is praying. And let me give you a story. A group of people came to the prophet, O Rasuli. There's a man in the masjid praying. He said, yeah, he prays every day, all night long. He said, well, who feeds him? He said, we do. He said, you better than him. So Muhammad Salih Salah said, you better than he is. Why? Because it ain't just about praying. Get up and go to work. Get up and make something happen. There's no day off. They say, yeah, well, the Christians got Sunday and the Jews got Saturday. Y'all got Friday. Oh, no, brothers and sisters. That is not true. We stop, drop everything, and rush to Juma. Why do we rush to Juma? Yes, we get a 1,000 barakat, but it's more than that. When you rush to Juma in congregation, a lot of races what you did Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Clean. If you only but knew, you would rush to Juma. That has nothing to do with this is God's day, special day. God's day is every day. You can't take God's day away. So they got misconcepts. And they don't want anything out of life. I saw Omar's mother. I was so happy to see her. I was happy he brought me to her. He didn't have to bring me to her. But we're supposed to be one family. Omar's been around me ever since I was a little boy hanging with him. 10 years old. Now, he's much older than I am. But they let me be with him. And that's how I grew up. See, the projects might be poor, but we had something a lot of people didn't have. We had love. Everybody, mama was your mama. You couldn't do no wrong in them projects and get caught by Miss Mary, Miss Johnson, Miss Brown. You got two beatings. So that's the way a community is supposed to be. This coming Friday is for social life. Our social life is our community. This Friday, we're supposed to celebrate. That's the sacrifice. Hell, sacrifice and get off your tail and go to Eve. But if you come to Eve, we can see each other. But we're afraid. Oh, this is martial law. They got us like they did them in Germany. Don't talk to each other. Don't be around each other. Oh, we're so scared. I'm not saying disrespect them. I ain't saying all y'all get together and go watch a basketball game, a football game. But hell, man, you're making a duo. boy for 10 years. Essex County, Union County Shore Board. We met every week for 10 years to build, and we built. Came out night and prayed during the night of power. Then we put 22,000 in North Bear Stadium. Then we put 34,000 in Waco Park. How did we did it? Because we were together collectively. We plot and we planned. We didn't plot. We planned. And we planned, we planned, and we planned, and we planned until we got tired. We had to take a rest. And as soon as we take a rest, they back down to 100. Where's the leadership? I'm not going to be a part of nothing that's not successful. I put them together to vote. All of a sudden, the foreigners took over. The only why they take over because we're lazy. The only reason why they was downtown because, and the foreigners was in, and I couldn't believe it, the foreigners was in charge. In North. Why? I'll tell you why. They didn't want to go in their bank account. All of them got $400, $500, $600 million in the bank, but they weren't. So the foreigners are spending the money. So the brother said, "From North, oh, I'm not gonna spend my money. Let them spend the money." And it was a disgrace. You don't have a million people coming through a city, and you come behind them with 300. You can't tell them. They don't see it. They want to be by themselves. And all I'm watching, I'm very observant. I saw all them men and women out there, about 300 on Broad Market is like 10 people. But nevertheless, they were looking, and you had the foreign brothers talking. It's not just black life. And they're looking at this boy, and the only reason why they didn't do nothing because Muhammad, Muhammad and a lot of others were standing there, and they wanted to respect us, but they didn't accept that. Then the mayor had to get up and say, "Where's the unity? And why you come to this city to talk black? You ain't got to tell us how black we are in North. Well, go to Fort Lee. You want to do something, go to Fort Lee. Not New Brunswick, go to North Brunswick and teach that. Go up in the suburbs. You come here, this is the mayor. You got to give him credit." I said, "That's what we need, spineless men." He may want to see Muhammad turn around and say, "A bunch of sissies up here." Now, he doesn't get no misconstrued. We don't judge a guy or a woman that wants to change their gender. That's between you and your Lord. But you can't take their nature. You can't take their intellect. So we respect them for that. And we pray that Allah will straighten, but we can't help them. They got to change their souls. That's what they want to do. So we are not into that. We ain't into your social life. We think you should practice to be upright. Everybody got an intellect. Everybody got five senses. Everybody got ideas. You worry about their agenda. Well, let me tell you, when you're on that line in Vietnam, you turn to the man to your right, and you don't say to him, "Excuse me, sir, what is your sexual preference? Or what is your nationality?" You turn to the one on the left and ask the same question. No, you don't. You say, "Hey, man, you got my back?" "Yeah, I got your back, Samad." "You got my back?" "Yeah, I got your back, Maraz." That's what they go to war. We don't ask questions. What is a war going on now? We don't have unity. And you worrying about their sexual pleasure. Hey, man, let me tell you something. My life will start off that one for Sister Clara Muhammad, I would not be educated. If it wasn't for those lesson plans that we had to learn and read, man, we had to know how much the earth weighs, how fast sound travels. We had to learn all of that. But it was just to make you come out and get those cobwebs out of your brain and be able to be a thinker. And boy, did I not became a thinker. And so if you ask me how I did it, reading the Quran. Well, man, Wallace Muhammad told me, he said, "You know all these stories. You're good. I said, thank you, Billy, man. Now, he was saying that for almost 20 years. And in the last 5 years, he said, okay, get all that fairy tale out your head and look in the Quran and see that Moses is you, Joseph is you, Lot is you, Noah is you, Abraham is you, Jesus is you, and Muhammad, the seal of the prophet, prayers, peace upon him, is you. Now go read it again. That's our picture. You want to find yourself? Go look at it. You say, well, see, I was drunk. So was Noah. When his family died in that flood, he got drunk. He was naked. He was drunk naked. So all these prophets is a sign of us. All, you know what's going on now? Most of these men are Noah. Not Noah. Moses. Why Moses? Because Allah Satan, what I said, talking about Pharaoh. Go tell Pharaoh. Put that forehead, throw your staff down, Moses. And you thought of they walking around with a stick trying to be like Moses. Moses, throw that staff down. Well, what about my brother Aaron? Your brother Aaron, that was no real person. That was your ego that you think you can talk to this white man can't. Put your head on the rug, Moses, and tell them what I said. Let your people go. Well, what people was he talking about? Well, I think he was talking about these people here, these people. No, your five senses, man. Satan got you locked up in your five senses. You lost it. You don't even have it no more. Even children see you and say, he don't even have common sense. Common sense was given to you in the womb of your mother by God. Your social degree came from man. Your bachelor degree, your master degree came from man. Your doctorate degree came from man. Allah don't need man. He gave you five senses. If you build everything on that five senses, then you can be a great educator. But if you lose them five senses, look what Jesus said. I got a few minutes. Jesus said, I saw the woman by the river. Whoa. She had five husbands. Five. Now, little sister, don't go out there and get you no five husbands. Five husbands. And when she took on her sixth husband, she was out of her mind. So what is the husband that God is talking about? He's talking about marry your five senses like a husband. Make love to it. Be consistent with it. But Muhammad the prophet, prayer peace upon, came back and said something different. Same thing, but in a different way. Bathe yourself in the river five times and you become pure. Whoa, so they baptized it. They took it literally. And they put them, you can bathe me 1,000 times. If I'm filthy, ain't no five bathing in the water going to clean my sin. So what was the prophet talking about? A river flows. A river don't back up. It's consistent. It's repetition. So Allah, so the prophet was saying, use your five senses like a river flow. Consistently, repetitiously, do not stop using your five senses and you will come pure. These are the stories in the Quran, in the Bible, in the Torah. You just can't see it because you're physical. Everything is physical, but nothing. Allah says, I need nothing from my creation, and I create everything for you, and I need nothing from man. So when you attach something physical to God, you just lost them. God is matter. Study. He didn't give him a piece of paper with writing on it. That would have been man. He said, read in the name of your Lord that created. Read what, Lord? Now that's what his mind's saying. But if you look in the Quran, he never questioned God. He never said three times, he didn't read. Only one. That's what you will find. Because God was watching him trying to figure it out. He couldn't get it out of his head, but he was trying. He couldn't get it out of his mouth, so he couldn't articulate it. And then it came to him. Then Allah said, read. Read in the name of your Lord that created. Oh, buddy, did he start reading. If you read your internal organs, yes, love your wife, but your wife can get heavy. Yes, love your wife. She don't look like she looked 20 years ago. Yes, love your wife. But if you fall in love with the physical, not only that you're going to get upset that she don't look like the physical 50 years later, you're upset because you used to touching your wife and feeling your wife, but you can't do that anymore. She passed away. She didn't die. She passed away. You know how you pass to go to another grade in school? Well, that's why we use the word she passed away. But if you were to check her internal organs and checked her soul and fell in love with her spirit, fell in love with her deen al-fitr and her taqwa, you will never miss her. Because why? You ain't in the physical. It ain't got nothing to do with the physical. I fell in love with God gave you. Revelation was not written on the forehead of the prophet. If it was written on the highest mountain, like Mount Everest, it was crushed in sand. But what did he write it on? The heart. Oh, my God, brother. When you're in the heart of that female, is she in your heart? That's forever. Nothing breaks that up. Oh, you have a little argument here, a little dislike here, and so forth and so on. But you cannot live about a person that's in your heart. So Muhammad the Prophet, prayers peace upon him, had his mother in his heart, and he never met her. He was just an infant when she died. He never saw his father, but he's in his heart. So he said, I love my mother, 1, 2, 3, 4, my daddy. That's what he said. So the prophet can do that, and he was an orphan. What excuse you got? That you are arrogant. Excuse you got that you don't want to talk to nobody. You don't even want to open your mouth. What excuse you have? There's no excuse if you follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I reiterate and I close on this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a wudu. And he prepared us for prayer to make Sajjah prayer. And why we won't thank him? Because you don't have no knowledge of that. And that's why you won't thank him. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him Jannah. May Allah be pleased with his son. All what he did for us, Allah allowed it to come through his lungs and through the womb of Sister Crab Muhammad. Amen. One is Steve Muhammad. And he called us to prayer all the way to his grave. Like Sirat says, show me a man that brought 3 million people to the Sunnah, and I was one of them. This is what Sarah said on YouTube. How could you forget him? And I was a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then named his ex. Oh, brother, they got us all confused. If I said anything to hurt anybody, that's not my intention. I ask you from the bottom of my heart to forgive me. If I say anything that was incorrect, I'm human. We say, subhanAllah. Allah is the best knower. But if I say anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen, and fitr, in the nature in which was you was created, your taqwa, don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah glorified is his name. I greet you from Adam, our biological father, to our father of the intellectual mind of all nationalities, Abraham. And I greet you from Jesus. Jesus Christ means Muslim. For he say, I am in you and you in me. So you got the same soul, the same spirit. This is what Jesus said. There was no Christianity when Jesus was alive. In the Quran, it said, They killed Jesus not. Jesus came to stop the Pope propagation of the Jews. He did his work, and he was gone before Christianity came here. But he said, one will come after me. And Muhammad the prophet is the seal of the prophet. So everything that you know, we know the seven, but there's a whole lot. One brother came on, Yusuf said there's 125,000. I wouldn't care if it was 5 billion. All the prophets are in the seal of the prophet, Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. And we salute him, but look at the credit. Allah gives you the credit as if you saluted Abraham, if you saluted Jesus, if you saluted Moses. How about Joseph? All the prophets are being saluted is one. Just like we dhikr Allah Akbar is 99, we only have to do 33 on three fingers. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You got all of them. See how the merciful God is? So when we say prayers and peace be upon Prophet Muhammad of 1400 years ago and his ascendants and his companions, we're suiting all the prophets in one. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So I greet you with the Arabic language of the Quran. As-salamu alaykum. I'm your host tonight, Marwan Muhammad. Tune in tomorrow and you will hear the tashir of Imam Augustine Muhammad with Imam Elias Bey, and he's on from 7 to 8. And then comes my sister, Michelle. Michelle teaches, Muhammad teaches you how to eat, to live. She comes on 8 to 9. And then Elias returns, inshallah, he returns from 7 to 8 on Thursday. And then our beautiful engineer, a beautiful scholar, a man working on his double doctorate, got so many degrees in different avenues. He's the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, and we're so honored to have him. He comes on a Friday, and I come on at 5 o'clock. That's not, I don't do Juma anymore because we don't do Juma in the air. Juma is sacred. So we don't give it directly to Satan because Satan is in the air. Iblis lives in the air. So therefore, I come on at 5 o'clock, and my beautiful sister always likes to be my host, and she comes on. That's Salima Muhammad, who is Robert VII's oldest child, Muhammad. Everybody knows Abdullah. Well, he and his wife is so proud, have to be proud of those 10 children. They're all successful. They're all educated. And hopefully, inshallah, that I can give them a platform to be able to give back what God has given them, from the children to the grandchild. They all are blessed with the ability to perform in society. Inshallah, we just need to do is you tell more, we can take this and outdo Blog Talk Radio. We can put 1,000 people listening to us for an hour and a half and sometimes an hour and 45 minutes. Thank you for tuning in. May Allah be pleased with you. We take a dua and so all those who have the virus, may Allah forgive them and help them to recover. And all of you who have not had it, we pray Allah will continue to allow you to stay wealthy and stay safe. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Rabbi Amin. Peace and love.